Hey, hey. It's a little disjointed. Normally I'm set up. You guys are taking communion and I sneak onto the stage. That's already done. So forgive the awkward transition here. How you doing? How was Easter last week? Here's the thing. Should we keep doing an Easter concert? Should we keep doing a Christmas Eve concert? I was told, and this really shocked me, there's like a ringing in my voice. There was someone who made the comment, and maybe you're here today, I came to church to get a 45-minute teaching. I'm a little upset that didn't happen. For the record, no one says that. Not even this guy right here. He's lying. He's lying. For the record, no one says that. But I just thought it was funny because they heard it from multiple people that they were upset that there was no teaching. And I'm like, well, then you must have missed the first 8 minutes of what happened. The video? If that didn't gut check you hard, I don't know what I got to bring you. I don't know. Jesus is enough. Yeah? My name's Adam. I'm one of the pastors here at Whitewater. It's awesome to be here with you. Usually, God gets his way with my teachings, meaning right up until this moment, it's subject to change, what I teach. Scary, isn't it? Hey. It's not scary for you because you're like, yeah, whatever. But it's scary as a public speaker to get up and be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I guess we're going a different direction, huh? Does anybody take public speaking in high school? How about college? Now think of the day you're supposed to get up and give your speech. You walk up to the class and all of a sudden everything changes. Are you comfortable? You guys are a little dead today. You doing okay? I'm about to start over. Okay? Here we go. We've been in a teaching series in Romans, and we're going to be in it for a good long while. And we're hearing from Paul. And Paul wrote to a church in Rome, hence why the letter is addressed Romans. Okay? And in this church, it makes up these Roman people, these Roman citizens, and Jewish people, and Gentiles. The Jews were the people that had the corner on the God market. They knew what was going on in the spiritual world because they were God's chosen people. Well, all of a sudden, Jesus comes to the scene and throws this door wide open to everybody. There's no longer this separation between Jews and Gentiles. And so this Roman church is trying to figure out how to connect with God and how to connect with each other, and how to make this life happen. And there's some really poisonous things on both the really religious side, meaning the Jews, and there's some really poisonous things on both the religious side and the Gentile side. And so Paul is writing this letter to gently guide. Husbands, gently guide your wives. Wives, gently guide your husbands. When Cindy, we were praying before the service, and she prayed that prayer, and I just started laughing out loud. Because I could imagine if I heard my wife and we were sitting in the seats and death wishes, you probably need to go to that. I don't know how else to say that. Baby, you want to go to dinner? I don't know how else to say that. But Paul gently guides these people, which really isn't gentle. Paul just puts it as it is. And so we're going to get his words put as they are. You ready? You ready? Here we go. We're going to be in Romans 6. We actually started the 6th chapter this week. And we're going to be reading 1 through 14. If you have your Bible, I want you reading with me, okay? If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles. Did you see them right next to the free earplugs? Okay. We stopped putting them by the food because people started eating them. And that was just weird, okay? So there's free Bibles out there. Use your phone to get YouVersion. It's an incredible app. You'll have all these different Bible translations. We're reading out of the New International Version, NIV, today. So we want you to follow along with us. Here we go. It says this. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase?" There was this, in the previous chapter, there's this discussion of, well, hey, you know what? If grace is a result of sin, then we should sin a lot so we can get a lot more grace. Sounds like capitalistic America, right? Yeah? That makes sense to us. So Paul is addressing this. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? And then he says very gently, by no means! Exclamation point. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? For those of you that are new here and you don't understand what baptism is, can I explain it to you? It's when a church fills up a horse tank full of water and dunks you in it. Okay? And this symbolizes a death and a burial. And then when some people we don't pull out of the water, but some people we do. But when we pull you out, this is this new life then that you're living in Jesus. That's what Paul's addressing. He said, but when we've been baptized, okay? Does that make sense? Clear as mud? Okay? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Everybody remember the Easter story? Jesus died, he was gone for 3 days, and then he rose again, right? He was back. He conquered death. Death no longer has mastery over him or over people that say yes to Jesus, right? Okay. For if we have been united with him, meaning Jesus, in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Can I read that again? Anyone who has died this death with Jesus, this death, this burial, this resurrection, has been what? Set free. Set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, this is where it gets real with us. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God and those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Paul talks about this thing that Jesus came to do. Paul talks about this life that Jesus came to live. Paul reteaches what Jesus taught them. Paul teaches this Easter story and reaffirms who these people are and reaffirms what Jesus has done and reaffirms what Jesus has called them into. But let's get away from the them. Let's say us, okay? Those words ring true for us. I love what Caleb said. I almost just got up and just dropped the mic because Caleb taught the teaching. You ever feel like there's times where you just need to run And God says, run. Just go. This is that passage. This is what this screams, is look, you guys are covered by grace. You guys are no longer bound by death or by sin because of what Jesus has done for you. So run in that. Now, our logical brains tell us right now, I can't stop sinning. And as we unpacked prior, sin is what? Wrong being in relationship to God. Not necessarily wrong doing. It's wrong being in relationship with God. I can't stop being in wrong being with God. And I'm here to tell you that's a lie. Are you sinning right now? I suppose if somebody is on their phone abusing the Wi-Fi on websites they shouldn't be. Oh, I saw a bunch of heads pop up. I had a professor in Bible college, and it was an interesting thing. We started talking about this sin factor, and we started talking about this impossible nature of sin. Can we not sin? Is it possible to run in the grace that Jesus has given us? Is it possible to not sin? And he said, well, can you not sin for 1 second? Yeah, I think I can. Oh, wait, nope. No, I think I can do that. Can you not sin? Can you not be in wrong being with God for 5 seconds? Sure. How about a minute? Yeah. 2 minutes? Sure. 10? Sure. How about half an hour? I think I could do that. It was amazing when you start breaking this down and this wrong being and this ability that we have to not run in that, to not be this instrument of wickedness. It's amazing. And what we tell ourselves is, I can't do that. I won't do that. It's more of a won't than a can't at that point. So we continue to feed ourselves lies. We continue to feed in this instrument of wickedness. And when I looked up instrument in the Greek, I got really excited because I thought it meant like guitar. Instrument of righteousness. And when I had hair just yesterday, I was like swinging it around like a windmill. And sadly, that's not what it means. This instrument that it talks about, being this instrument, lending yourselves and being a tool, a weapon, actually, is what the Greek unpacks that word instrument as. A weapon of wickedness or a weapon of righteousness. And I own a few handguns. I own, you know, I understand the weapon thing. They can kill. They can maim. They can destroy. Hey, buddy. No, you're good. That's all right. I get nervous when, like, adult men run at the stage, not little kids. It's all good. But I get that weapons can maim and kill and destroy, and I've never been in a war, but I know some of you have. I've never seen that side of things, but the devastation that can happen through a weapon. And I never think of myself as a weapon. I never thought of myself as a weapon as I was living in wrong being with God prior. I don't think of myself as that. But Paul puts it so gently to us. Stop being an instrument of wickedness. Stop being that weapon. You're hurting yourself. You're killing yourself. You're maiming and destroying yourself. You're maiming and destroying everybody around you when you choose not to run in the grace that God has given us through Jesus. Put it in perspective like that. That's not cool. My choice to be an instrument of wickedness. That's not cool. So I get that analogy a little bit, but I really love the music analogy. And that's not what the Greek says, but this is where my mind goes, okay? And my mind started thinking of this music in terms of playing in a band, trying to make harmonies, trying to make anything sound good, playing in tune. And then my mind says, hey, you know what? Somebody already taught about this. In 2005, anybody know the heretic named Rob Bell? We're going to listen to him. None of you know the heretic. The people that laugh knew him, okay? I jokingly say heretic. Rob Bell is a guy that pushes the envelope, but Rob Bell is a guy that understood Jesus at least at a point in his life. Maybe he still does. I don't know. I'm not making that judgment call. But understood Jesus at a point that I just found incredibly beautiful. And he made this series called Pneuma Series. And he talks about this rhythm is what this particular video is called. And we're just going to watch a few minutes of it in regards to this instrument of righteousness, instrument of wickedness. So let's check it out here.
When I think of God, I hear a song. It's a song that moves me. It has a melody and it has a groove. It has a certain rhythm. And people have heard this song for thousands and thousands of years across continents and cultures and time periods. People have heard the song and they've found it captivating. And they've wanted to hear more. Now, there have always been people who say there is no song and who deny the music. But the song keeps playing. And so, Jesus came to show us how to live in tune with the song, like that he's the way and the truth and the life. This isn't a statement about one religion being better than all the other religions. I mean, the last thing Jesus came to do was start a new religion. He came to show us reality at its most raw. He came to show us how things are. I mean, Jesus is like God and taking on flesh and blood. And so in his generosity and his compassion, that's what God's like. In his telling of the truth, that's what God's like. In his love and forgiveness and sacrifice, that's what God's like. That's who God is. That's how the song, that's how the song goes. In the song is playing all around us all the time. The song is playing everywhere. It's written on our hearts, and everybody is playing the song. See, the question isn't whether or not you're playing a song. The question is, are you in tune?
Does that make a little more sense? The song's been playing all along. And you've been playing a song, but the question is it in tune with the song that Jesus came for? Since the beginning of time, since our creation, are you playing in tune with Jesus? Are you running in this grace that happened? I mean, you can try to change history all you would like. You can try to say things didn't happen. You can try to say Jesus isn't real. You can try to say these things. But because of my personal experience, I'm 36 years old. I've seen things that don't make sense and don't add up, and the only explanation is Jesus. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in your lives. And the only thing that's going to help, the only thing that's going to move you beyond where you're at, where you're stuck right now, is Jesus. And so we can try to stop playing our own tune. We can try to stop being these instruments of wickedness. But if we try that in our own power, it's not going to do anything for you. You understand that? I'm going to stop doing that. I'm just going to be a peaceful person. Without Jesus, you will get nowhere. I'm just going to be a good person. Without Jesus, you'll get nowhere. But accepting this grace, this cross, this Easter story that we just heard about last week, where Jesus is enough, that's the only thing that we buy into. That's the only thing that we understand that will change our condition, that will make it even possible for us to say, you know what? I cannot be in wrong being with God for a day, for 5 minutes, for an hour. That's the only thing. That's the it. And what this looks like is some of your lives right now are just in chaos. Some of your lives just don't make any sense because you guys have been trying the same old things, the same old habits, the same old garbage that you cling to, the things that we talked about in Romans 1, that whole list of things where we fall short, where we are deficient in regards to our relationship with God. We keep trying those things over and over and over and over, and the Spirit actually defines itself within Scripture, and it says this in Galatians 5, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Are you a loving person? Joy. How many of you feel joyful right now? Peace. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And I'm going to omit this last one because it's garbage. Self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And we understand what law is, right? Law is able to do many things. It commands, it demands, it rebukes, it condemns, it restrains. It even points away from itself at other people. Hey, you're breaking the law. Well, so are you. There is, however, one thing that the law can never do, and that's save, and that's what Jesus did. That's the grace that Jesus offers. That's what cleared the track for you to just run as hard as you possibly can to Jesus. And at this life that Jesus calls, so that you can start looking like this, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I know it because I've seen it happen in you, the claim Jesus. I know it because I've seen it happen within me. I've seen it happen within my children. I've seen it happen within my wife. And it's incredible. And then it continues to play itself out with all these things of like feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, inviting a stranger into your home. How many of you have done that? Good. I'm proud of you. That's a weird one, isn't it? Invite a stranger into your home. Clothing the naked. Looking after the sick. Visiting those in prison. Looking after widows and orphans. It's amazing how this life plays out in a different way than what we're doing. This self-centered, self-focused instrument of wickedness versus this instrument of righteousness. It looks at people around us and says, you know what, I want to try to take care of you the best I can. Why would you do that? Because Jesus loves me and Jesus loves you. That's what it looks like. So the question today is, are you playing in tune with that song? A lot of you know where you're not. If you were like me, I sat in church from 11 years old till about 28 years old, and then I quit going to church. No, I'm just kidding. Then I came here. But I sat in church from that time, and I always had this one major sin, this one major area that put me in wrong being, so I thought. I thought I just had one, and I was doing really good. And every time the preacher got up to speak, it would just hammer in on that one thing, that one thing, that one thing. And I just, oh, I hated it because every week I would show up with the same issue, so I thought. And what that issue was I was loaning myself out to be an instrument of wickedness. I was out of tune with the song. Willfully. Willfully, I ran hard at other things than I did Jesus. Willfully, I did that. And then I'd show up and I'd have this Christian guilt. Oh, man, I'm such a bad person. Is that you this morning? And all the while, Jesus is saying, look, would you just believe the words I've said and spoken to you in the very beginning? The very thing that called you to me, the very thing that you understood as grace, the very thing that you understood as forgiveness and acceptance in my kingdom, own that and run in that. Just do that. God, that sounds so simple. It is simple. I did all the hard work for you. But God, it should be harder than that. It's not. Will you choose to be in tune? Will you choose to be an instrument of righteousness instead of an instrument of wickedness? Because it is, in fact, a life and death situation for you. So God, we love you. We want to see you rightly. We want to hear you rightly. We want to be in tune with your word. We want to be in tune with your way. We want to be in tune in right being with you. God, so many of us have come with garbage and baggage and things that don't make sense and don't add up and don't look like kingdom life, and it's because it's not. It's not kingdom life. But God, what you've done to open the kingdom to us, what you've done to make us in right standing with you, by being the ultimate sacrifice, by dying a death once and for all for sin. Not only that, God, but by raising and conquering this death that sin brought about. And giving us a life with you, giving us a life that's possible to look like love, joy, peace, patience. All of those things are ours. All of those things are available to us, but we need to choose to run in that. We need to choose to be that instrument. We need to choose to play in tune with that, God. And it's only through the power of your Holy Spirit that we can accomplish anything. It's only through what you've already done that we can do any of it, so we can't claim any of it on our own, God. And that brings me to a place to just say thank you for doing what I can't. Thank you for being what I can't. Thank you for being who I can't. God, thanks for not giving up on me. Thanks for not giving up on these people here this morning. Thanks for never turning your back on them. Thanks for never showing them the door. God, may they see this grace. May they own this grace. May they live this grace as an instrument of righteousness. God, may we see you rightly. May we hear you rightly. It's in your name, everybody said. Amen. If you guys ever have any questions after the teaching, if you guys have any comments, rebuttals, anger management issues, come and speak to us, okay? Did you see Craig, the big Santa Claus looking dude standing by me playing bass? Did you see him? He's kind of easy to miss. Come speak to him. Come speak to me. I'll wait till you're done yawning. There's Matt Coulter right there. He just pointed at me. He leads the forum on Sunday morning. Go talk to him. His wife Shelley's sitting right next to him. Go talk to her. They can't defend my teaching, obviously, but if you have any questions, just come talk. There's people up front. There's Jeff and there's Chantel. They want to pray with you. If you have anything weighing on your heart that you can't get clarity on, come, pray. God will give you that clarity. If you have any issues that you just have going on in your life that you need wisdom on, come, pray. God will give you wisdom. If you have any joys that you want to share and celebrate with the community, come, pray with these people. They want to pray with you. If you want to understand more about this salvation thing and this baptism thing, come, talk to us, okay? Don't sit out there. You're not alone. We'll unpack it for you. We'll help you. It's an 8-foot horse tank. That's all I'll say. Yeah. We love you. We're glad you're here. And I pray, here's been my prayer since Easter. When we started praying about people that don't know Jesus and that we wanted to invite people here, there are people that came that knew Jesus and people that don't know Jesus, but would you make that an ongoing thing in your world? If Jesus is important to you, Jesus is important to your neighbor. If he's important to your coworker, he's important to a dying world. So I pray that that's on your mind all the time, and that you would just have the strength and the energy and the patience to just invite people with you to come hang out here. Show them what you've found. All right? Deal? That was sermon number 6. Grace and peace.